You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right. Well, we've been teaching on Wednesday nights on sacred cows.
Amen.
And what I mean by that is religious teachings that have sometimes become idols to us. In other words, we haven't really questioned them. We just believe them. Everybody says them, and we say them. And sometimes they've got Scripture mixed in with them, but they're out of context. Last week we taught on Paul's thorn. You often hear Paul's thorn when the subject of healing comes up or miracle comes up. If you need a miracle or healing, you know, you'll often hear people say, well, maybe you're a thorn to bear this sickness, this disease, this problem, whatever the case may be. And of course, we took that apart and realized that that's not sickness, wasn't disease. It was persecution that Paul was dealing with.
Amen.
That's something we all deal with. And you can seek the Lord three times if you want, or four, or 400, or 300, and He's not going to remove persecution. I sought the Lord thrice, he says, three times. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Well, His grace is sufficient. People will make fun of you if you stand up for Jesus. They will persecute you. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we took apart, of course, that phrase, that metaphor, thorn in the flesh, where it's used in the Bible, in the Old Testament. In every case, it was always people that persecuted enemies of the nation of Israel, people that came against God's people, sons of Belial. And in Paul's case, he called it a messenger of Satan. So we see there it had nothing to do with sickness and disease. And that was kind of a religious sacred cow we often hear concerning healing. We often hear the one about Jesus. Even Jesus said, not my will but thine be done in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Jesus was talking about going to the cross, something he knew that God wanted him to do. He was hoping there was another way besides that way, but if there was no other way, if he could not let this cup pass, then he said, not my will but thine be done. He wasn't praying for healing. He wasn't praying for a miracle. He wasn't praying for provision. He was talking about his mission, his ministry, his service, what God had asked him to do. And so that's a very, very specific prayer. You might liken it to God asking you to forgive somebody when you really don't want to forgive them. You hope that there's some way around forgiving them or confronting them or going to them or asking them for forgiveness. And you say, God, I know what you want me to do, but I wish there's another way. Is there another way to handle this? I don't want to go talk to him, but Lord, if there's not another way, I'll go do this. Not my will, but yours be done. If this cup will not pass, then I'll drink this cup. Are you with me? That would be the context of what Jesus was talking about. He never prayed, if it be thy will, concerning anyone being healed. And no one ever prayed that way coming to Jesus. Are you with me? And so only one case, a leper said, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus said, I will be healed. But in every other case, they just came and asked him and he healed them and that was it. And he commended them for their faith. And so we talked about that. Tonight I'd like to talk about the book of Job. Everybody say, what about Job? You know, I often hear that, especially when you talk about healing or you talk about believing God for something or someone's going through some suffering. You know, you'll hear people say, religious people love God. They love God. A lot of people are good Christians that love Jesus, born again. But they've been taught, they've heard, that when you go through tragedy and pain, it may just be a Job experience. And you'll often hear, what about Job? You know, I always respond with that, what about Jesus? Because I think Jesus will trump Job in every case. Just my personal opinion. How about you? I think if Jesus said something and Job said something, if they don't agree, I think I'm going to go with Jesus. Thank God for Job. Thank God for Peter. Thank God for Paul. Thank God for Mary. I love them all. But Jesus died for our sins. And Jesus is not just a prophet or a teacher or an apostle. He's not just a good man. He is the Savior of our soul. He is God incarnate. And so if there's ever a contradiction between what anybody says and what Jesus says, then we're going to have to go with Jesus. I think that's pure and simple. Also, if you look at the whole book of Job, Job's an interesting book. It's really a book of conflicting views about God and about the world that we live in. When you look at Job objectively, you'll find Job saying some things about God, and you'll find his friends saying some things about God. And then you'll find the narrator of Job saying some other things about God.
Amen.
I mean, they're all different views about what kind of God this is that we serve and what kind of world that we live in. And they're not views that agree with each other. They differ greatly. In fact, the narrator of the book of Job tells us about the devil. Job doesn't know anything about the devil. He tells us the devil is the one that did the things that happened to Job. It says that the devil put the boils on him. The devil brought the Sabaeans and all the enemies on him and destroyed him and killed his kid. But Job doesn't know that. Job, on the other hand, thinks God's behind everything. Amen. And in essence, really, Job just accepts everything that happens in life as being from God. Good, bad, or indifferent. His idea is that God is in total, absolute control of every minute detail of his life. He believed that God did good, God did bad. Shall I not receive good at the hand of the Lord and not receive evil? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Woohoo! They even got a song about that, you know. But Job was wrong. God actually rebuked Job at the end of the book of Job, and Job actually repented of what he said and said he didn't know what he was talking about. You generally don't hear people talk about that, but Job at the very end does see the light. Job's friends, on the other hand, it's really interesting. Eliphaz and, you know, Bildad and those guys. They said they had another take. Now listen to this real closely because you might miss this if you don't catch it. They said that everything that happens in life has to do with your sin or your righteousness. That if you're righteous, nothing bad will ever happen. If you're sin, nothing good will ever happen. If you're having trouble or sin, or excuse me, your problems or suffering in your life is because you must have sinned. Hello. They were wrong too. Now, I believe that bad happens to everybody. I believe that we as Christians can believe God and stand on the Word and overcome a lot of things. But everything that bad happens to you is not always your fault. Now, it might sound good, and I do believe you can tip the scales in your favor by serving God. You're going to live a more blessed life. But there are sucker punches. There are bad things that happen in this life. This world is a little more complex than that. There's a lot of wills involved in this life. There's a devil out there. There's a fallen, broken world we live in. Every single thing that happens to you is not always a result of your action, be it good or be it bad. Having said that, and I said it already, I do believe you can tip the scales in your favor. I believe you can have more good than bad by serving God, no question. And I believe you can have help and hope and answers when bad things do happen.
Amen.
But I don't believe you can prevent every bad thing from happening to you or your family in life. We're not in heaven.
Amen.
But having said that, I don't believe those bad things are God. God didn't do them. He's not behind them. Sometimes accidents happen. Sometimes you can, you know, do something wrong in a car and have a wreck. Are you with me? Wasn't necessarily the devil or God. It's just the world we live in. It's a dangerous world. Are you with me? Some people die because of accidents. And nobody really sinned. Woo. Are you with me?
Amen.
So that was his friend's views. That Job must have sinned somewhere. And you know, I do believe Job did open some doors. I don't have a problem with that. But you can't attribute everything bad that happened to Job to his sin. There's just a devil out there. Now the narrator, as I said earlier, the narrator of the book of Job tells us very plainly that there is a devil. Job never realized that. And his friends never realized that. In fact, let's look at the first chapter. You found Job chapter 1?
Amen.
I want you to take notes and think about what I'm saying too, and you chew on it. If it doesn't set well, you know, hey, you don't have to swallow it. But then the question would be, if you have another take on it, is your take scriptural? Does it line up with Jesus? Does it line up with the New Testament, the New Covenant, what we know about the way the world works? You see, you and I as Christians know a whole lot more about the way the world works and the way God works than Job did. Job didn't have any scripture, never stood on any scripture, and you need to think this thing through. God never refused to heal Job, deliver Job, or help Job. Job never asked God to help him. He never asked him. He never called on God, says, God help me, God heal me, God deliver me. Not one time did Job ever do that. So you can't say that God denied Job deliverance. Job never asked for it. Job thought everything that happened to him was God. And he acquiesced. He accepted it and silently just laid down. Whatever happens, happens. He had a real simple philosophy. Whatever happens is God. I'm going to accept everything that comes along. He didn't. See, I think Job's main problem was he never made a choice. He never chose anything. Everything that happened, he accepted. You know, it's interesting, Deuteronomy 30, chapter 19, verse tells us, Behold, I set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that it may be well with thee, that you may live, that you and your seed may live, and cleave unto the Lord thy God, for he is thy life and the strength of thy life. Job never chose anything. He just accepted whatever happened. Now, in the New Testament, we see people constantly trying to get out of the mess they're in, crying out to God for healing of blindness, issues of blood, tearing up roofs, let people down through the roof to get their friend healed. They didn't accept what happened as being from God. They pursued a change. They pursued health. They pursued deliverance. They pursued salvation and healing. Job never pursued anything.
Amen.
See, this is a philosophy. This is a theology. This is what Job thought. He thought that just whatever happens, happens. And everything's God, good or bad. He attributed it all to God. And yet, the writer of the book of Job is telling us what's going on behind the scenes. I think this is interesting here. In Job, the first chapter, you found it?
Yes.
Okay. Sixth verse says, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Now sons of God in the plural in the Old Testament is generally always angels. And so here we have the sons of God, the angels coming to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Everybody say Satan.
Satan.
All right. And the Lord said to Satan, From where do you come? I think it's interesting. I read this in a book the other day, Is God to Blame by Gregory Boyd. I believe that was the title of the book. And he made a point here I thought was excellent. He says, you notice how God did not have Satan on an assignment, that Satan wasn't God's hit man. He wasn't on a mission for God. In fact, he was asking Satan where he'd been. He was kind of rebel, kind of doing his own thing. When he showed up, God says, where you been? He didn't ask the other angels that. Why is that? Because he probably told them what to do, and they were on some assignment. Satan was always a rebel, always doing his own thing. Hello. The Lord said to Satan, From where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth in it. See, he didn't believe in prosperity. He didn't have a car. He had to walk everywhere he went. Then the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man and one who fears God and shuns evil? And I believe that's right. I believe he did do that. I don't believe Job totally trusted God. Stay with me. He trusted his concept of God, what he believed God was, but he didn't trust God for deliverance. He just trusted God for whatever happened. In other words, if God killed him, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Shall I receive good and not receive evil? The hand of the Lord. He trusted God. He didn't do evil. You follow the thinking here.
Amen.
But his concept of God was not, it was incomplete, therefore is incorrect. That's what we're saying. So lest you think we're dissing Job, Job trusted in his idea of God. His idea was wrong. We know that from what Jesus said about God. It totally contradicts what Jesus said about God. But God was correct in the fact that he feared God, and he never lost his faith in God. He still trusted in God. He just never believed God for anything. But he believed in God. And he feared this God, although he had a wrong idea of him, he did fear him. Are you out there?
Amen.
And we'll take it apart and go into some of those things he said and show you how he was totally wrong about things he said about God. But he didn't deny God. He wouldn't curse God like his wife wanted him to. So Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Why was that happening? Because what God was doing to Job. And Satan said, Let me have him. I'll ruin him. See, God blesses, the devil curses. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Let's don't get confused here. Whatever happened to Job from here on out, the suffering, the pain, the loss, the death, the boils, all that happened, was not the hand of God. It wasn't what God did. It was what God didn't do. God removed his hand, and the devil came on the scene. Now, you might have trouble with that. Well, why did God give him permission? You know, there must have been some reason. He must have had some fear or something he allowed. Or, you know, the devil does a lot of things because of the world that we're in. Obviously, Job didn't know how to rebuke the devil. He didn't know how to come against the devil. He didn't know how to resist the devil. He didn't even know there was a devil. I remember in, Numbers 23? No, Exodus 23, I think. Well, it's where Balaam, the king Balak, wanted to curse It's Numbers 23. Remember King Balak got Balaam the prophet and he wanted him to curse Israel? Remember that? And Balaam prayed and God wouldn't let him curse it because he didn't see any sin in him. So he wasn't able to curse him. Remember that? He was looking for permission. There's a case. Why didn't God give Balaam permission? Wow. Why didn't he give Balaam permission? He said, because I see no sin in Jacob, nor iniquity in Israel. So he wouldn't give him permission to do it. So the very fact that he gave the devil permission here, which he did give him permission, it says in the 12th verse, the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now that's when the bad things started to happen, when Satan got control. Now, I know this is a big mystery, and it just throws us all off thinking, well, can God give the devil permission someday? He may give the devil permission someday in my life. Well, if he ever does, I'll rebuke the devil, and he'll have to flee. Satan, I know about Satan. I know who he is. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you." Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Are you with me? Job didn't know that. Acts 26, where Paul's talking to King Agrippa, he said that God had raised him up to turn the Gentiles from the power of Satan to the power of God. You and I are on another covenant. We have a new covenant, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the name of Jesus. We've got the authority of God's word and his name. And we know there's a devil. Job didn't. God did not do these things. The devil did. You say, well, God gave him permission. Well, there must have been an open door. I believe the open door in Job's life probably was fear. And then this world that we live in, I think it's interesting. The devil does a lot of things. And God lets the devil run rampant. One day he is going to destroy him completely and cast him in the lake of fire. But you know, we're down here to take care of the devil. That's something Job couldn't do and didn't know how to do.
Amen.
We're supposed to cast out devils.
Yes.
We're supposed to resist the devil. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
That's what the scripture says. So you might say, well, God allowed the devil to do all he's doing. Well, yeah, I guess he allows everybody to do whatever they're doing, but it doesn't mean he commits it. Just because God permits something doesn't mean he commits something. I mean, when God was involved in Job's life and his hand was on Job, he was blessed and Satan couldn't even get to him. It wasn't until Satan got a hand on Job that the bad things happened. So whatever our take on this is real simple. The bad things came from the devil. The good things came from God. Now, once you understand that and you understand you have power over the devil, then you can stop a lot of this junk he's doing.
Praise God.
When bad things begin to happen, you need to pray. And you're sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with oil, the name of the Lord. The prayer and faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise them up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. Woo! He doesn't say accept it because, you know, hey, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Praise God.
Okay, so we can see the devil coming into play here. And whatever happened was because of the power or the hand or the influence of the devil in that 12th verse. Now notice what Job said, and I've quoted it several times already. In the 20th verse, then Job rose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Did the Lord take away? Who did that? The devil. If we're going to be honest and read the book, then whoever wrote this book tells us behind the scenes what's going on. He says the devil did it. Job didn't know that. I think it's fascinating, the next verse, 22nd verse, says, "In all this Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." What in the world do you mean? He did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Why would God even say that? Isn't it strange that he would just make a statement, Job would, "The Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And the next verse says, "In all this Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." You say, "What's so strange about that?" Well, let me give you an example. God is good. In all this, I did not sin when I said that. Well, of course I didn't sin. God's good. Everybody knows that. But see, if you're reading this, you know God didn't do that. That the Lord's not the one that took it away. So God comes back and says he did not sin when he said this. Because Job's concept of God was that God does everything. He was wrong in his head. He was right in his heart. His heart was right. And that's what God was looking at. His theology was all messed up. His statement was wrong.
Whoa. Praise God.
Are you with me?
Amen.
But God, knowing Job's heart, he made the next verse, he says, "In all this Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong." I don't know if you're catching that now, but you need to think that through. It would be utterly ridiculous for me to say, every time I made a right statement about God, to follow it with another statement and say, "In all this I did not sin. God loves me." Now, hey, I didn't sin when I said that. You'd think, what in the world are you saying? What do you mean you didn't sin when you said that? Of course God loves you. But if I didn't know any better and said what Job said, but my heart was right, I think we'd have to stop and say, wait a minute, I know that statement's wrong, but Job didn't sin when he said this. Y'all catching this? Think it through. You know, if you can't get it, that's fine. But I think you need to chew on it and ask yourself, why in the world God even make a statement like that? "In all this he did not sin," after he said something that everybody already knew was true. Well, obviously, they knew it wasn't true. And they're thinking, what in the world is Job saying here? Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have more abundantly." John 10:10. What do you mean? Job didn't know what he was talking about. How dare he say that about God? Well, Job didn't know any better, and he didn't sin when he said it because he was ignorant of that.
Yeah.
I know from what Jesus said, that's just a bald-faced lie. I mean, we get fired up about it. But what you have to realize is Job didn't know any better. Aren't you glad God looks at our heart?
Yes.
I mean, well, my theology is messed up. If I really love God, I'm trying my best to love Him. I can be kind of messed up in my head, but if my heart's right, He'll stay with me on this.
Praise God.
Okay, all right. Satan comes back, and now he strikes him with painful boils. Oh, my. 7 verse, 2nd chapter. "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." That's why we say when we're praying for somebody to be healed in the name of Jesus from the top of your head to the tip of your toe. Because God heals us, amen, from the top to the bottom. "And his wife told him to curse God and die," in the 9th verse, and he wouldn't do it. Thank God he didn't listen to his wife. 10th verse, listen to this. "But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?' In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." Well, why does it say that? Because he just said something was wrong. He made a statement that wasn't true. But he didn't know any better. You know, in all of Job's ranting and raving, and he really, I don't know if you ever read the book of Job, you ought to read it. You wouldn't have such a clean, pristine picture of Job if you read the whole book of Job, because he gets kind of mad. He starts accusing God of all kinds of things. Makes some real false accusations. He starts out here, he's not going to curse God. He's going to continue to serve God. He says, "Yet though he slay me, I'll serve him," and so on. But when you make these wrong statements, notice it says he didn't sin with this, because his heart was right. He did want to serve God. He thought God was behind everything. That was Job's philosophy and his theology, is that God does good, God does bad, God is in total control of everything that happens to me. That's what he was thinking. And so naturally, when something bad happens, he'd thank God for that. Something good happens, he'd thank God for that. He'd bless the Lord. There he's even a song that quotes this. I often hear this verse, "The Lord give, the Lord take it away," at funerals. You ever hear that at funerals? And I think it's so sad because it's a wrong statement. You say, well, that's what the Bible says. No, that's what Job said in the Bible. See, the Bible is filled with things that are truly stated. In other words, he truly did say that. Job did say that. But that's not a true statement. Everything in the Bible is not a true statement, but everything in the Bible is truly stated. Goliath said he would kill David and take his head off. He did say that, but it was a lie. He truly stated it, but it wasn't a true statement.
Amen. Amen.
All through the Bible, you see things that are said that weren't true, But you know in context who's talking, what they're saying. Are you with me? And you go, okay, you need to find out who said it. Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Jesus said, the thief comes, steal, kill, destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have more abundantly. Now, those are mutually exclusive statements. They do not agree. They contradict each other. Which one's right? Well, obviously, we'd have to say Jesus got the market on truth, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Hello. And so, I think I'd go with Jesus on this one. In fact, tell you the truth, I think I'd go with Jesus on everything. How about that, huh?
Amen.
And anytime I ever find a contradiction, I'm going to go with Jesus on this deal.
Wow.
So just because something's written, you have to put it in context. Who said it? What's the context of being said? So in all this, Job did not sin, and I don't believe he did sin. I believe he, as best he understood God and knew God, he served God. His concept was wrong, but his heart was right. Man, I'd a whole lot rather have a right heart, and we'll work on my head later. You know, I'll get it all straightened out later. But I want my heart right. I want to serve God. I want to love God. I'm learning all the time, but God goes with my heart until I find out better. Now, God got on Job's case. He did rebuke Job. I think that's fascinating. We get to the end of the chapter, and we find out that, you know, we often hear people say, well, you know, his friends weren't right. God got on her case. Hey, God got on Job's case, too. He got on both their cases. They were both wrong, his friends and him. And Job actually repented of what he said. Wow. Don't often think about that one, do we? So he said those two statements we see there in the first chapter, we see there in the second chapter. I'll tell you what, let's just turn on over to the last chapter. You ought to read the back of the book. See how this thing ended up. After God, for several chapters, cleaned his plow, and he did. I'm telling you, God cleaned his plow for about three or four chapters there. Well, more than that, excuse me. 37, 38, 39, 40, 41. In several chapters, he just cleans Job's plow. And the 42nd chapter, first verse, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Wow, that pretty well negates everything you said up to this point, right? Hello. I uttered things I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said I will question you, and you will answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Does that sound like Job had it all figured out? Does that sound like Job said everything he should have said, and everything he said was right? Hello?
Amen.
Evidently, Job realized he's wrong. Now, from here on out, Job did say the right thing. And God commended him for it, there's no question. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, 7th verse, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right. Now listen to this, as my servant Job has. Well, when did Job speak what was right? It was after he repented. Because he just got through saying he didn't know what he was saying. I did not understand, and he repented. Hello? Get it in context. Now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls, 7 rams, go to my servant Job, offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has. So, see, God accepted the offering and forgave, evidently, his friends and restored Job. He restored Job because Job wasn't right. Job learned some things through all this. But I think it's fascinating through all this, he still didn't know the devil did it. He still was confused along those lines. He says in the 9th verse, so Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. If you're looking for names for kids, here's some right here. Went and did as the Lord commanded, for the Lord had accepted Job. When did God accept Job? He didn't accept him in chapter 37, chapter 38, 39, 40, 41. He rebuked him for those all those chapters. He accepted him when he repented and said, I don't know what I was talking about. Amen. I think it's fascinating. This book does not answer the question. It really doesn't answer the question of why Job went through all the sufferings. Never answers that question. Never addresses it. God never even told Job that the devil did those things to him. Nowhere in there does it say that God was trying to teach Job something. Nowhere in it does it say what lesson it was that Job learned, other than he was wrong about his concept about God. Made a lot of statements that were wrong. But it says in the 10th verse, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, I think that's interesting. I'm not through with this. I've still got some more verses I want to get to. In fact, turn to James, the 5th chapter. While I'm musing here, James, the 5th chapter. God restored his losses. Now, isn't it interesting that when people go through suffering or go through pain, you know, they'll bring up Job, of course, but then they'll never bring up the last chapter. They'll never bring up how Job wound up with twice as much as he started with. Generally, religiously, when you hear that and someone's going through some suffering or going through some pain, it's a hopeless thing to bring up Job. It's not an encouraging thing. Actually, if you're going to bring up Job in someone's suffering, it should be very encouraging, because you think, wow, this is like Job. I'm fixing to get twice as much stuff. Yeah. Isn't that right? He restored twice as much. Double. Double for your trouble. Mm-hmm. Amen? But that's something we never... In fact, we never consider the end of Job. We just hang around there beginning of Job. We never really read the last chapter. It's kind of like an unfinished book. When we say, what about Job, we mean the first part of Job. In fact, we should say it that way. But what about the first part of Job? Not what about Job, but what about the first part of Job? Don't read the end of the book. Just what about the first part of Job? Because at the end of the book, he comes out and he's blessed. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I think we have time for this. I'm going to go over every scripture in the New Testament that mentions Job. Do we have time to do that? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Every scripture. It's going to be a fast-paced thing here. I'm sorry. There's only one time he's mentioned in the New Testament.
Amen.
Everybody say once.
Once.
Okay. He's only mentioned one time in the New Testament. And by the way, Jesus never mentioned Job. Yeah. Jesus never mentioned Job. Matthew didn't mention Job. John didn't mention Job. Mark didn't mention Job. Luke didn't mention Job. Paul never mentioned Job. Jude didn't mention Job. And whoever wrote Hebrews didn't mention Job. The only person ever mentioned Job was James. Peter didn't mention Job. I think that's interesting that someone has such prominence. In fact, you can talk to some Christians that couldn't even quote you John 3:16. They know about Job.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, we're going to the hospital, you know, we need to pray for someone to be healed, and they don't know one scripture on healing, but they know about Job. And yet Job is never mentioned in the New Testament. One time is he ever mentioned in the New Testament, and it's James, the 5th chapter. And I think it's interesting the way he mentions Job. James 5th chapter, notice what it says. In the 11th verse, that's 10th verse. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Patience. Everybody say patience.
Patience.
Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end of the Lord. Now, in parentheses or italics, and some of your translations may say intended by the Lord, but actually just the end of the Lord. God didn't intend anything with Job. God was bragging on Job. God had put a hedge around Job. Satan's the one that did things that happened to Job. God didn't intend anything. He never committed anything evil or committed anything painful to Job. The end of the Lord was what? What was the end of the Lord? Anybody know what the end of the Lord was? W blessed? Didn't we read that? 42nd?
Yes.
Wouldn't the end of the Lord be the end of the book? So when you consider, the only time he's ever mentioned in the New Testament, incidentally, James is the only one ever mentioned Job. So when you consider Job, what should you consider? Are you with me?
Amen.
You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So we should always think of Job in terms of how it ended.
Amen.
According to the New Testament. According to what James said by the Holy Ghost. Actually, according to the only person that ever mentioned Job in the New Testament. Do you think James knew what he was talking about? Travel with Jesus, been with Jesus.
Praise God.
And what does he say about Job? Consider the end of the Lord. That he's compassionate and he's merciful. So what about Job? Well, according to James, I guess we ought to be saying, hey, God sure blessed him, didn't he? I mean, that's the way we should think about it. What about Job? God sure blessed him. God blessed him with twice as much stuff as after the devil got a hold of him and he finally repented. He did come to God and repent. It's what Job repented. He said, I spoke things I didn't understand and I repent in dust and ashes and prayed for his friends. When he did that, woo, hallelujah. When he quit griping and complaining and moaning and groaning about God doing all this stuff to him. Lord give, Lord take it away. I'll receive good and bad. If the Lord always slay me, yet will I serve him. See, he had a God that was just in control of every little detail of his life, and he didn't say the right things about God. But he finally did repent and said, I didn't know what I was talking about, and I have now seen you with the eye. I've heard of you with the hearing of the ear, now I've seen you with my eye. I said things I did not understand. I repent in dust and ashes. He prayed for his friends, hallelujah, and God gave him twice as much stuff he started with. One time he's mentioned in the New Testament. And that's the context of it. In fact, that is, what verse is that? The 11th verse? Wow, look at the 14th verse. Is any among you sick? Remember poor old Job. What? Wait, is that what it says? Is any among you sick? What about Job? Is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. In the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he shall be forgiven. He doesn't say, what about Job? He just mentioned him three verses ahead of that. You'd think if anybody's going to mention Job when it comes to sickness and disease, it'd be the only person in the New Testament even uses his name. And in the same chapter, and just three verses before he talks about sickness, he mentions Job, and yet he doesn't even refer back to Job when he talks about sickness. Job has nothing to do with sickness and disease. That has nothing to do with you being healed. Job is not an example for you to follow concerning that. If you're going to think about Job, consider the end of the Lord, how he's merciful and compassionate, and realize that God blessed him with twice as much stuff he started with. Now, if you are going through something, be patient and consider the end. But if you're sick, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over you and let them anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise you up, and if you commit any sins, they shall be forgiven you. Confess your faults one to another, 16th verse, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Wow. What about Job? Woo. Y'all catching this? I tell you, this sets you free. And if you really get a hold of this, you'll never hear that term, what about Job, or think about Job the same way. If you're going to be honest and look at the context of it. I mean, when it comes to sickness and disease, I think we ought to be looking up scriptures that talk about healing. And we ought to be following Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And follow that woman with the issue of blood. And follow Jairus. When he falls down at Jesus' feet and gets his servant healed. And that Syrophoenician woman who cried out to Jesus to deliver her daughter, and she got her daughter healed. And blind Bartimaeus that said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus. And those friends that let that guy through the roof, Mark the second chapter, who walked off with that pallet, that bed, who was paralyzed before, met Jesus and got healed. That's who I want to look at. Hallelujah. What about Job? What about Jesus? What about James, the 5th chapter? What about the only one who ever even talked about Job in the New Testament?
Amen.
What did he say about healing? What was his take on that subject? Pretty simple. He said, you need to get healed. Amen? And don't be talking about Job. If you're going to talk about Job, let's talk about the end of the Lord and the way it ended up. man, if Job's something we're supposed to follow, then y'all better get ready to get blessed. You better build you some barns because you got twice as much stuff coming.
Praise God.
And by all means, you shouldn't be repeating the wrong things he said. Why don't you just jump to the last chapter and skip all the other ones? Jump right to the last chapter and start believing God and trusting God and praying for one another. Because when he prayed for his friends, I tell you, that's when the whole thing turned around and God restored him. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, that's just a quick, in a nutshell, teaching on the book of Job. And I hope that helps you next time you hear that comment or that statement. What about Job?